Blog Talk Radio.
God for his unspeakable gift, that he's the mighty God. So what a blessing it is to be able to declare the word of the Lord, to declare unto you that there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the God of the universe. Amen. He is the in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, as it was revealed unto Moses, God. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony. And thank God, he was the only witness on the stand. He is the great I Am. Amen. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the bishop of our souls. He is the apostle of our profession. Amen. Amen. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. Amen. He is the one that's going to come back. Amen. Like he said in the last words in the book of Revelation, I, Jesus, send my angels to testify these things. And he went on to say, surely I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So it's good for us to gather ourselves together. Thank you, all the Blog Talk listeners that are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, and also to all of our Facebook listeners, all of our Twitter listeners. It's just a blessing to be able to gather ourselves together one more time. So thank God that we, knowing that the world is going to pass away, as John the Apostle said, and the lust thereof. But he went on to say that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So certainly it is behooves us to be found in the will of God. We know that his will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. So thank God. He's not willing that any, Peter said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So thank God for that. That we want to be able to please God. That's the thing that we should look forward to. Amen. It's to please our God. So we thank God that we have been going through the book of Corinthians and the second letter to the Corinthians that we had finished up on the last time that we did our broadcast. And so today's broadcast, we wanted to begin in the book of Galatians, which is the church that Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. And we know a number of his church, churches that he had wrote to were prison epistles. I'm not for sure. I don't think this is one of the prison epistles. And I know the book of Ephesians definitely was a prison epistle that he wrote when he was in prison. So, but anyway, what a mighty man of God, Apostle Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles. So today, lesson, his letter of proof to preach the gospel. So he authenticates himself by the Holy Ghost how that he is apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. So we thank God for that. So we thank God that what a time that we're living in, that we're seeing God's word being fulfilled just like the Bible said that it would. And so then we know that we're saved by hope when we went through the book of Romans, and the writer Paul, who wrote to that church when he had heard of their faith. And so he says we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. He goes on to say, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And he goes on to continue in his writing. And so, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So what a hope that we have that is getting ready to come to pass. And then one thing you can see that definitely substantiates the word of God, and that is the perilous times that we're living in, and people's hearts are failing for fear, looking on things that are coming on the earth. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this is one of the signs of the end time, that the Lord warned the disciples. And he had admonished them and let them know to take heed that no man deceive you. So that's something that everyone can take a hold of. You don't want to be deceived. I don't care who he or she is. So that's why you got to get in the word of the Lord for yourself. So we should be preaching Jesus. We should be giving him the glory. We're not important in the sense that we can be replaced. We're not indispensable. But we can be done away with, and God will raise up somebody else, just like he told the disciples, you know, that these should hold their peace. The rocks would immediately cry out. And he's not talking about literal stones, but he's talking about people. Because he took out of the stony heart, like what he's going to do to Israel in Ezekiel 36 and 26. He's going to take out the stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. So that's what he has done to us. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell and Peter preached the message, the sword pricked their hearts, amen, which is what he's talking about, not that one that's beating in your chest, but the Spirit, amen. And so it pricked our spirit, and so we don't have a stony heart, but we have a heart of flesh. And so that's what the Bible is talking about when he's talking about these should hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. So he's talking about those people there. So God's not going to have rocks. How stupid is that? God is going to have a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. No rocks are going to be serving him, but people are going to be serving him. So you have to look at biblical terminology, even in the book of Revelation. I talk about Jesus at the sound numbers of times in the book of Revelation. Says the sounds of many waters. And then one writer, at one place, the writer goes on to make it plain. He says, the waters that you see are peoples. So we have to understand biblical terminology. He's not going to have no rock serving him. So he even said a couple of the gospels, God is able of these stones to raise up a people. And so we know that when we get understanding about what his word says, He's not talking about no rocks, but he is talking about people. And so that's the thing that people, so many don't do, is to get an understanding. And that's what the writer in the book of the Proverbs, which is the preacher, he told us, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And he went on to say, and in all thy getting, get understanding. So we definitely need to get understanding. And so we won't be saying things in error, just like I have on my page, that the Bible is truth when it is rightly divided. And so the word does have to be rightly divided. And so to substantiate what I said about rocks and about stones, and it's in the third chapter of Matthew in the 9th verse, it says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So we can see he's talking about people. He's not talking about stones that are going to praise him. That we just have to get an understanding of what the word of the Lord is saying. So on the day, like I said, we're going to get into Saint Paul's letter, or the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. And we call the book that he wrote to the church at Galatia, Galatians. And so that is where we're going to talk a little bit on this evening. And also, I want to make sure that I give out our call-in number. Should you desire to call in, you have a question, or you have a comment, you're definitely welcome. And I guess our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So should you have a question, or should you have a comment you want to share, you're welcome to call into the show. So we thank God for the Twitter and the Facebook listeners. So this is, like I said, it's not that one man thinks that he knows it all. That's not the way it works at all. But no prophecy of the Scripture, as the Bible says, is of any private interpretation. But prophecy came not, Peter said, by the will of man, in old time by the will of man, but he said, but by holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there is no private interpretation of the Scriptures. So thank God for his word. And so there's no secret in God's word, but the secret things belong to us and to our children, as in the book of the Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. So it's not a great secret, but we can get in that word and see what it says for ourselves. We don't have to take anyone's word for it, but we can get in God's word and see what it says for ourselves. And that is the way that I was taught. So that's all we have to do, is just to believe God. And, you know, there's no secret what God can do. As the song says, what he's done for others, he can do for you. So thank God, amen, for his unspeakable gift. And that is a blessing. So as we prepare to get into his word, and Apostle Paul is authenticating himself, as I was saying earlier, here in this book, how he was chosen to preach the gospel and various other things that he says. You know, and it's, people don't really promote themselves. You shouldn't, you know. You have another man to promote you, or to give praise to you, or how we say, we give honor. But like somebody say, I give honor to God, or I give honor to my leader. And then some people say, you want to know how to give honor to him? Live right. So that's a good thing right there. But anyway, sometimes you do have to blow your own horn, as we say. So that nothing wrong with that either. So today's lesson, Apostle Paul's a letter of proof, how he was chosen to preach the gospel. So Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, some people don't understand that, but God, if that comma is in there, it's the self-same one. So Jesus, like the Bible says, there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So that's the office of sonship. He is the mediator of the new covenant. And the sonship was given for a purpose, so he came to die. And he is the head, talking about Jesus, of the church, which is his body. So we get all our orders from the head. So God is a God of order. So now it's all power is in the hands of the sonship. And the sonship was given for that purpose. So God can manifest himself in any way that he decides to do. So he can never be what he is not. So in other words, he can't be contained. So when he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be. He's always God. Amen. So thank God for that. So he says, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So we know the eternal spirit raised up the body. Like First John, the first epistle of John, 3:16, John wrote, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So did God literally die? Yes, he did. God didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. And that's why he says, we have to understand the way he's talking. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so he says, a hireling, they flee when they see the wolf coming because they are a hireling. So he was saying that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I'm the door. You know, by me, if you come in, you can come in and out, and you'll find green pasture. And now the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he says, no man take my life, but I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So it's all in his hands. So thank God for that. So nobody can say that. I can't say I got power to lay my life down and I got power to take it again, because I don't. Because I have the Holy Ghost. Now, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if this spirit, the same spirit, dwell in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall dwell in your mortal body. It shall also quicken your body by his spirit. So I can't say I'm going to raise myself up. But it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So that's what it's by. So, and the brethren which are with me, when he wrote this church, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. You know that the Son came into the world. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Apostle Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, he says, of whom I am chief. So I am what I am by the grace of God. So we're not recovering sinners, but we were sinners. But by grace, as he said when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we're not recovering sinners, but we have power. Amen. Just like he says when he told them to wait until the city of go into the city of Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with power from on high. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all of them. Amen. There appeared unto them clothing tongues like as a fire, or divided. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's the power of the Holy Ghost. So that's why Peter said in the 8th verse of the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, they asked a question just before that. And that was, they said, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He let them know it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which your Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's right in line with in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, when he commanded them to go to the city of Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. So he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, in his letter that he was writing, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? A question. Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we see as he goes on here, he's authenticating himself. So he's blowing his own horn. He's telling who us who he is. He's not by men, but he's by Jesus Christ. So he goes on, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it is. This is by revelation, even when you're getting taught. So you being guided through the scriptures, just like the eunuch said to Philip. He says, understanding what thou readest. And the eunuch went on to say in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, how can I accept some man should guide me? So he guided him through the scriptures, and he was saying, whom spake it he, of himself or of some other man? In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And the writer Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, said he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And so he got a revelation. He said, see, here is water, saith Philip. Saith the eunuch. He said to Philip, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he, Philip, baptized the eunuch in water in the mighty name of Jesus. That's where what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. So thank God for the name of Jesus. So neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God has to reveal himself to us. So you're not going to know. You don't understand the scriptures with the carnal mind. But the Bible said that the carnal man is enmity against God. Enmity against God is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The natural man, he don't receive the things of the spirit of man, of the spirit of God. The natural man, he doesn't receive them, the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. because they are spiritually discerned. So God has to give give you revelation of his word. And so we see here, ye have heard of my conversation in time past. In verse 13, the first chapter of the book of Galatians, Paul says, you heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals and my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my father. What he's talking about, the Jews' religion, he is literally talking about Judaism, is what he's talking about. And so this is what he's talking about. And so one thing about the Jews, they do believe that there is one God. Just the Jews as a nation don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and at that time was the Messiah, not as a whole nation, but some do and some don't. But they're going to believe, and that's why he's going to do the things that he's going to do. He's going to pour out upon Israel the spirit of supplication, Zechariah the 12th chapter in verse 10, and they're going to look upon him, he said, me, whom they have pierced. They're going to wail, they're going to weep. And another part in the book of Zechariah, scripture, they're going to say to him, when did you get these wounds in your hands and in your feet? He says, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So they're going to see that they crucified the Lord of glory. And so he goes on to say, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So what he's talking about is the natural man, is a man's wisdom, like when he wrote in the book of the Corinthians to the Corinthian church. So he was saying to the Corinthian church, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So in other words, when I come around you, when I come to minister unto you, I don't want to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he's talking about he's not getting off into philosophy and man's wisdom and all of that. But he just wanted to talk about the power of God. So that is what's so important. So neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save or except James, the Lord's brother. So what he was saying was he went into that Arabian desert and he got into the scriptures. And so, and then after that, God revealed himself unto him, and he was saw, the Lord taught him, and he saw the Lord, as he said in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, last of all he was seen of me. So this is why I always stress that there are no apostles nowadays. And so even notice what he says, he talks about the apostles that were before him. So he is the last of the apostles. And so when you really get an understanding, then you won't be exalting yourself or trying to make yourself be something that you are not. So like we used to say in the world, somebody do something stupid or say something they don't know what they're talking about, we would say they're ignorant. And so this is what the scripture is saying. That's why Apostle Paul even was saying that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. So you shouldn't be ignorant. He made mention another time about I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, talking about those that are dead in Christ, or those that are asleep in Jesus, or those that are in the graves who died a child of God. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. But this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. He goes on to say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, simultaneously. Shout, voice of archangel, trump of God, simultaneously. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He goes on to say, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So that is the word of the Lord. And so that's what's most important. If we can say what the scripture says, and you get in trouble, but it doesn't matter. Folks get mad. Sometimes when you say there are no apostles nowadays, but it matters not about somebody getting all bent out of shape. But this Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. And so their job, the job of an apostle was to lay the foundation, to write the New Testament scriptures, to suffer for his name's sake. All of them died a horrible death but John the Apostle. He got boiled in oil, and they couldn't kill him because he had the Bible said, he said of himself, that I was in the isle that is called Patmos on the Lord's day. So he had to be there to see the end and to write these things, to write the book of the Revelation. He wrote St. John, and he also wrote the first, the second, and the third epistle of John. So Apostle Paul is our apostle to the Gentiles. He was the last of the apostles because you had to see the Lord. So he said of his own mouth, of his own testimony, and last of all, he was seen of me. Last, that means nobody is after you. So there are no apostles nowadays. You can tell whoever you want, their bubble can be busted. There are no apostles nowadays. And so he says, I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, excuse me, but I went into Arabia. See, this is a time thing. And returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So what does that mean? They didn't see him. He was unknown by faith at that time. But they had heard only. So that's just like this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. Some folks know me. Some of the Facebook listeners, maybe some of the Twitter listeners, maybe some of the Blog Talk. I know some of the Blog Talk friends do know me, one or two of them that I know personally, maybe a few more, because some people could be on Blog Talk. I don't even know. But I know of some because I have a brother that is and his wife that are on Blog Talk, and also another a dear sister that's a friend of mine. She has a couple of episodes on Blog Talk. So we do know each other. We have seen each other in the flesh. But what he's saying is these folks, they hadn't seen his face. But he says they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me. So that's why you never know. Sometimes you may not know until in eternity. Some people that we didn't know that God saved, they heard the word of the Lord and went and got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And that makes them a candidate. Amen, to be on their way to heaven, get what they need, amen, to get their ticket, to get ready to get out of here. You got to have the Spirit of the Lord. You have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. When you're baptized, that name is called. I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that is what you have to do. That he is the one, the only one. Like the song says, blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. So another song says, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. The song goes on to say, let's talk about Jesus more and more. He goes on, I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. So we got to get in him. Amen. The only way to get in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. And so, like the writer said, we talked in the book of Colossians, I believe he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you have the Holy Ghost, Christ is in you. But the only way to get in Christ, you got to be baptized into Christ. So that is the one baptism, being born of water and of the Spirit, constitutes the new birth. Water and Spirit. Water, baptized in the precious name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives you what to utter. So you're not going to, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're not going to speak in English if you're in a, and that is your native tongue, but you're going to speak in another tongue that is not your native tongue. You could speak a Romania. You could speak a German. You could speak Spanish. You could speak, it will be another language, which is your not your native tongue. But you're going to speak the wonderful works of God. So that is the evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So here, like we said, Apostle Paul's letter that he was chosen to preach the gospel. And as he goes on to say, the continuation of this first book, it was divided up really for us. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of repetition, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, bought in, who came in to privately, privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision under Peter, he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So, circumcision and uncircumcision. The uncircumcision is the Gentiles. The circumcision is the Jews. When you break it down. So that's what he goes on to say. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. That's uncircumcision. But when James, Cephas, and John, okay, so that's, we say sometimes Peter, James, and John. James, Cephas, who is Peter, and we know Cephas means by interpretation a stone. And that's what he called him. And John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that they should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And so, yeah, we should go unto the heathen, they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was gone to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed for that certain came from James who did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come in, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, the Jews. Peter feared the Jews. And the other Jews, there it is, there's the answer. In the next verse, dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? A question. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. While we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? A question. The answer, the next two words, God forbid. And so he goes on to say, if I build again the things which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So now notice now, we always read it every week when we do our intro. That is, like the scripture says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The next clause, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that is what is so important. So just like Jesus says that he came to fulfill the law. He didn't say, did he come to destroy the law? No, he came to fulfill the law. So the law is fulfilled in one word. We'll see as we go on in the book of Galatians. And so another scripture is very important. And go right along with that. I think it's found in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. I'm going to go there. A good point to be made here. We're talking about the law. You see, the law wasn't done away with, so some don't understand the law. But the whole key is what the scripture is talking about, the righteousness of the law being fulfilled. So in the Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Well, I'll go up a little farther. Therefore, the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? He's talking about this woman in seven. She was married, and all the men had died. And so I'll go up even further. Same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him. So see, Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So they asked him, Master Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, shall raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. So here's the question that they're asking, because notice they don't believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees here. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? Was a stupid question, because they don't believe in the resurrection. For they all had her, they said. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So you're going to be neuter gender, neither male nor female, is what he's saying. But it's touching the resurrection of the dead. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine, or his teaching. Doctrine is teaching. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Notice what I said. What's the great commandment in the law? Remember what we were talking about previously is the law. And so Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we can see he didn't come to destroy it, but he came to fulfill it. And Apostle Paul wrote, he says, we're not destroying the law, but we are establishing the law. You couldn't do it with the law alone, but since the death of Christ, you have his righteousness. You have the righteousness of the law. That is what's so important, what we need, because we can't do it by ourselves, but it's because of him. We have to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to be able to live this life. So you can't live holy all by yourself. You can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of people have repented. They have turn, but they haven't been converted. They have not been born again. And that's what you got to do. And so every time when you read in the scripture upon the conversion of someone, the new birth, they were baptized literally in the New Testament church in water. And the scripture is consistent all the way across, and you can see that when you read in the Acts of the Apostles. So we go on continuation here in this letter. As we said, we ended up in the second chapter. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It didn't come by the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, foolish Galatians, he writes, it goes on, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? But before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? A question. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So this is why Abraham believed God, and he knew that if he had to, he told him to go offer up his son, his only son, Isaac, which was the son of promise, who the blessing is coming through, and Abraham, Isaac had a son named Esau and Jacob, who were twins. Jacob was the surplanter. Jacob was the one that received the blessing. Jacob was the one whose name was turned into Israel. So he's Abraham. He's the God of Israel, who is the God of the church. And Israel, Israel is going to be saved from every tribe, the 12,000, from every tribe, the 144,000. So this is what he's talking about. And so all Israel shall be saved. So the 12 tribes of Israel at that time. So anyway, So then they which be of faith are blessed with faith for Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curses everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law at the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Like I said previously, we have the righteousness of the law. In Romans, the 8th chapter, says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak. What was weak through the flesh? The law. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4 of Romans 8 chapter, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are in after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brother, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So, nothing like getting an understanding of what he is talking about in the Scripture. So, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he's made a curse. So people going around, it is amazing. They don't even realize, I don't care who they are, they got a cross around their neck. Like, why you got a cross around your neck? He's not on that cross. He got off of that cross. He was made a curse, but he's not a curse no more. He got up to die no more. He got up with somebody said, on the third day, he got up from the grave with a mighty triumph for his foes. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. So they thought they killed him. You played right into the plan of God. Like he said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. I came to give my life. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So he came to lay down his life. Amen. He came to be a ransom for many. So thank God. They said, who you want to release? They said, Barabbas. Thank God. Amen. He came in the volume of the book. Said, I come to do thy will, O God. So yes, he did. And thank God he did. And so none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Talking about the Lord. So, reason why Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which that was conferred before of God in Christ the law which was 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law, it was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? The answer, God forbid. For there had been a law given which could have given life. Verily, righteousness should have been made by the law. But the scripture has concluded, all understand that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice what he says. You got to be baptized into Christ. So there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're in the body of Christ. When we're in church, God is the God of order. So if there's a woman that is married, that is the pastor of a church, if the local church, everyone is subject to her. And she goes home, she has a husband, she is subject to her husband. So God is a God of order. So when you're in the church, we're all one. And this is how it's going to be in the world to come, that we're all one. We're not going to be. That's why you're not going to, so you're going to get married, you got to do that right here in the earth. You're going to have a wife. So that's what's so foolish and folly about the Muslim belief, and the man who started that belief supposedly embraced an angel, which is totally against what the Word of God says. When he, in the book, beginning of this book, says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. And so he said that again. As I still said, I say it now again. Any man preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So the word speaks for itself. So no other gospel matters. You got to have Jesus. Ain't no, there is no such, that's an insult to God. That's a derogatory name to call the Lord Allah, because ain't no such thing as Allah. And the devil himself knows that is a lie that he could take back to hell. Ain't no Allah. His name is Jesus. His name was God Almighty. His name was Jehovah back in that time. Now the name is Jesus. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the scriptures. So that is a lie out of hell, and that. So that's folly, that Allah stuff. That lie about Allah lead some folks right to the lake of fire. After they get up and stand before the great white throne, they're going to be cast into a devil's hell. Because that is a lie out of hell. Ain't no Allah. That is a lie out of hell. So it's in Jesus. So thank God that you got to know what his word says. And so the truth is in Jesus. So we'll pick back up in the fourth chapter of the book of the Galatians in the Word of God when we come back. So thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. justified in the Spirit, seed of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.